I read that song in a funeral operation yesterday. Andrew Huppin and I preached the funeral of Brother Jim Reynolds. And I read that song. And the thing God gave me, I want to just mention that to you this morning before that I begin to try to preach on what I believe God placed on my heart. God gave me a subject for that funeral. And let me say this first of all. For Christians, you cannot lose for winning. You may think you're losing. You're not losing. You can't lose for winning. So what God gave me for that theme, for that funeral was good, better, and best. The good life is walking with Jesus Christ now. We have a lot of trials, a lot of afflictions, and eventually we're going to leave this world to death. But it's a good life to walk with Jesus Christ. It's the only good life there is. That's good. And I hope you'll walk closer with him, and I will too. Because the more closely you walk with him, the better it is. But then that better, a lot better when you get right down to it, when you leave this world. Paul said to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. The trouble are all gone. And I will read you this one over here from Revelation. I love this so much in Revelation 21:4. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. You may have some tears today. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So Jim Reynolds right now has gone in the presence of the Lord since it's a lot better. But my brothers and sisters, even as good as it is, the best is yet to come. Because the resurrection is going to occur. The Lord's going to descend from heaven, the shout, the voice of the archangel, the trumpet of God, the dead in Christ shall be raised first, then those that are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. These resurrected bodies joined with our souls, and I don't want to get on that right now, get off my subject, but I'm telling you, you cannot believe what the resurrected body is going to be like. We're going to have glorified bodies, a glorified environment to enjoy him. So it's good, better, and best. Listen, friends, I hope that you can get some encouragement today. You may be going through some real hard times. I know a lot of you are. But you can't lose for winning if you're a Christian. The victory is in the Lord Jesus Christ. So what I want to do now is turn to Peter, to 1 Peter. And I'm going to read a few verses. And my theme today is he precious to you? Is he precious to you? So I hope you'll be in prayer. I'm going to just start at verse 1 because I already preached those first three verses, but I kind of get a running start here in 1 Peter chapter 2. And I'll start at verse 1 and read a few verses. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Now here's the beginning of what I'm going to preach about. To whom coming, that is to coming to Jesus Christ, and a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. He that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. That's where I get my title from. But to them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same that made the head of the corner, a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumbleth the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. So that's what I want to preach about today, is he precious to you? Now, there's a building here, and there's a kind of a twofold meaning to this in a way. He's talking about the entire elect family of God, but that's manifested in local churches. So I'm going to talk about the local church today mainly. This building he's talking about is really, in some sense, it's talking about the whole family of God, but it's also talking about manifestation in the local churches. To whom coming is a living stone. My friend, he's a lively stone. He has life in himself. He gives us natural life. He gives us spiritual life, and we're living stones. To whom coming? Now, the first time you came to Christ, you came because he drew you by irresistible grace. if you know the coming to Christ, believing him is the same thing. I'm going to read you some scriptures about that. So to whom coming? To a living stone. All right, let's read some scriptures. Let's go to John chapter 6. Some of the first scripture I ever memorized right here were John chapter 6. The Savior speaking. Verse 37. I'm going to read verse 37 and read a few verses. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. So I hope you come to Christ. If you're one of his children, chosen him before the foundation of the world, sometime between your conception and death, you'll come to the Lord Jesus Christ. I think most people come where they have a time to serve him. Some people come late in life. The thief on the cross came right before he died. But God's going to draw all his children to him sometime between their conception and their death. Nobody's going to get out of here go to hell if there's a child of God. That's good news, isn't it? Some people serve God late in life. Brother Jim Reynolds, that I preached at his funeral yesterday, 37 years he served the devil. And God got a hold of him, and he hit the ground running and served the Lord until he was 61 years old. Some people, you have a few days, make the best you can of it. All that the Father gives me shall come to me. Him that cometh to me, I will no wise cast out. That's good news, isn't it? Sometimes we think we'll get cast out, don't we? The devil tells us that, because we're all Arminians by nature. We all feel real bad about our sins, don't we? I know some people that are tortured by sins they committed years ago. You shouldn't let that happen. My friend, listen, when we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But the devil is a dirty fighter. He'll beat us to death. Sure, a lot of things you regret. Sure, wish you'd serve God better. But if you love the Lord Jesus Christ, my friend, I hate to almost say forget it. It's important. Listen, God loves his children. He loves his children. He'll no eyes cast out his children. For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. This is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I shall lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. I wish everybody preached that, don't y'all? Many people have preached that Jesus Christ died to make salvation possible, but a lot of those whom Christ died should be lost forever. That is not the true doctrine at all. My friend, he's going to lose nothing that the Father gave him. If you are a child of God, you're a love gift from the Father to the Son in the covenant of grace. God gave you to Jesus Christ as a love gift. Isn't that wonderful? And this is the will of him that has sent me, everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him, and I hope you do believe on him today, may have everlasting life. I will raise him up at the last day. That's a great promise, isn't it? I'm going to raise him up at the last day. Now, I'm going to skip down to verse 44, another one of my favorite verses. Because people might say, well, okay, just exercise your free will and come to Christ. Nobody can do that. Nobody had got a free will. My friends, when Adam fell, the will was dead just like everything else about a man. So here's what he says. He says, I've come to Christ. The reason you came to Christ was he drew you with irresistible grace. John 6:44. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. I will raise him up at the last day. He's emphasized that I'll raise him up at the last day. If you love Jesus Christ, you've been drawn by irresistible grace. You know, I wrote a pamphlet one time called God's Drawing Power. That's an irresistible drawing power. It's wonderful. Now, here's what I want to say this. Okay, say, I believe in Jesus Christ. I've come to him, but this doesn't mean come to him only one time. Brother, when you're born again, we got to come to him again and again and again. He invites us to come to him again and again. I want you to come to him today. I don't know what kind of shape you're in today. Some of you may be down as low as a snake. I don't know. Some of you as cold as an ice cube. I don't know. So you all kind of regret. My friend, are you burdened today? Do you have a burden? Or maybe a burden of guilt, a burden of sin, a burden of fear? What do you have? Let's listen to our precious Savior over in Matthew 11. Now this is him. This is not Zacchaeus speaking. I'm reading to you what Christ has said. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. Are you laboring and heavy laden? I know some of you are. Some of you are under great stress, even at work. That's a load. I know some mamas that are having a hard time raising kids. Not long ago, somebody very close to me just went into hysterics because her kids weren't behaving like she thought they ought to behave. And that's not anything to laugh about. That's a hard job raising kids, especially the little kids. He said, come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. That's the real rest he'll give. He's the only one that can give soul rest, and he can give it too. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart. I love it. That's the only quality that Christ has got that he himself said he had. We know a lot of the Bible said a lot of things he has, but he said, I am meek and lowly. I like that, don't you? What kind of view do you have of Jesus Christ? Well, I tell you what most people have. It's just like this. All right, sinner. I may kind of give you a crumb every now and then. You better behave yourself. I got that big club. I'm going to let you over. Have it. My friend, that's not the Savior. See, some people are hard to approach, right? I hope I can be approachable. I want to be approachable. We all want to be approachable. We need to have such a demeanor that anybody in the church that wanted to have some help would come to us. They say, I know I'll find a kind heart there. I'll have an understanding ear there. I'll have a sympathy there. That's how we ought to all be. I'm not that way sometimes. I'm sometimes just as mean as an old junkyard watchdog. But I shouldn't be. Christ said, I am meek and lowly in heart. Isn't that beautiful? And you shall find rest to your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. So my friend, I'm inviting you today by the scripture to come to Jesus Christ. Now he's rejected of me. I'm going to turn my text again and read that. By the way, I got the biggest Bible in the church. I'm more spiritual than y'all are. Really, I got this. I can't see it good as I used to. It's a large print Bible. I think it weighs about 10 pounds. But I still like it. All right, let's go to Peter again. Okay, here we go. Beginning there at verse 4 again. To whom coming? And to a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. My friend, he's precious to God. Isn't that great? He's precious to God, the Father. How many times did the Lord say, this is my beloved Son, finish it for me? In whom I'm well pleased. Well pleased in Jesus Christ. Totally pleased in Jesus Christ. He ought to be precious to us, but I'm telling you, he's precious to the Father. Chosen of God and precious. Now, let me say this. This may blow your mind. When we talk about election, we usually talk about God choosing his people. And that's the truth. But my brother, the first one God chose was his only begotten Son. He chose him. Now, of course, he's co-equal with God. But I'm talking about as far as being the Messiah concerned, the God-man concerned. God the Father chose him eternally. Let me read you the text. It's over in the book of Isaiah. Now, this is beautiful. I hope you'll follow me here. He said, chosen of God. He's the only one who could have done what he did do. And God knew that, so he chose him. He chose him to be the God-man, to become incarnate, to die for his children, to please God in every respect on our behalf. Look at Isaiah 42:1. Behold, my servant whom I uphold, mine elect in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. Isn't that beautiful? Now, friend, if we're one of God's children, we were also chosen. But how were we chosen? In Jesus Christ before the world began. All Christ gets all the glory. Ephesians 1:4. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, we should be holy without blame before him in love. Isn't that beautiful? Chosen of God. Chosen in him. What a oneness we have with the Lord Jesus Christ. I wish I could describe it better. I love to read John 17 about our oneness with Jesus Christ. I want to get more insight on that. You meditate on that. My friend, the oneness is amazing we have with God the Father and God the Son. And that will be manifested in a perfect way when we get to glory. And we can see that we all want to go today. So, Lord, go ahead and take me today. But you've got to wait a while. He got some more work for you to do. So stick around, and Lord, God wants you to stick around. He'll take you home when your time comes. But just do what you're supposed to do while you're still here. All right, let's go back in our text now. Now, this is beautiful to me. This is what Grace Chapel is all about. I'm going to read you this scripture, and I'm awed by this. Listen, you better not take for granted what God blessed you with here. I've been awed the last few months about the spirit of worship this church has been blessed with. Don't take that for granted. I enjoy those song services. You do too. I know you do. You keep calling them out. I get kind of tickled and chuckle a little bit because I know Alec wants to probably go ahead and change the subject to preaching time, but he'll let it keep going. People would call out song, we're here for an hour or two. I'm glad it's that way. My friend, our God, deserves our praise. And I want you to praise God. I like to praise God. I'm not the only guy here. I say, Lord, bless them all, be praising the Lord. Hope they all feel as good as I do, and maybe even better. We're lifting up our voices and our hearts and praise to God Almighty. We're fellowshipping each other. Isn't it good to have good fellowship? If there's anybody virtually watching this, and you, we're happy you're here. We're live streaming. But if you're not going to church, you need to be going to church. I'm just going to tell you that. But there's something about being with the saints that nothing else takes its place. When I walk in here and see your faces, it cheers my soul up. And one of these days, I'll be with the entire redeemed family of God, and I'm really going to be happy then, because there won't be anybody missing. You say, how can I meet all those people? You got it forever to meet them. You can talk to the Apostle Paul 100 years, go talk to John a while, and maybe somebody you never have even met before, talk to them a while. It's just that real precious friend, I'm telling you it is. I cannot tell it too good, thank God. Okay. Wherefore also is contained in the scripture. I'm not through verse 5. What's wrong with me? Ye also are lively stones. We're living stones. We're living stones. This is a house the Lord is building. He built the house of the elect. He also builds the house of the local church. And brother, God is building this church if it's what it ought to be. When you have a building, you don't have just a, you say, okay, we're going to build. We're hoping to add on here pretty soon. Let's just say we're building a stone building. Well, we're not going to just have a pile of stones. Shoot, that's not a building. That's just a pile of stones. When you got a building, the stones are placed in a body in an orderly way. And my friend, you all, there are members here, you belong here if God placed you here. We all fit in. We're fit in by the mortar of love. And we all fit in. And we don't be perfect here, but in heaven we'll have that perfect building. In heaven you won't even be lost in the crowd. Isn't that beautiful to think about? In heaven you'll still have an individuality. You won't be lost in the crowd. I thought about that sometimes. You know, I just wonder if I'm going to be lost up there. Shoot, all these millions of people up here. And I'm going to be looking around at them and they're all praising God. I'm going to be kind of lost. You know, you won't be lost in the crowd. You're going to have a specific place in heaven. He says, I'm going to heaven. I've got many mansions in heaven. I'm going to prepare a place for you, brother. God Almighty preparing a place for you personally to come to heaven. I guess you'll have an angel guide you there, I reckon. I don't know. The first time, maybe, then you'll know where to go. I don't know how it's going to be. It's going to be that good, though. My friend, this is the truth. You're built up as lively, built up a spiritual house. That's, I hope, when you come through the door to a Grace Chapel, even before we get here, remember, and I believe there's a spirit of that here. You're a spiritual house. There's something special going on here. This is not a Quantity Club meeting. This is not a basketball meeting. This is a place, it's a worship place. No, it's an important thing going on in Memphis, Tennessee today is things like they're going on at Grace Chapel. I'm telling you there are. I believe that with all my heart. Ye also, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood. Brothers and sisters, you're priests with God. We're priests with God Almighty. We're a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Now, I want to look at a couple of sacrifices. Let me look at the most sacrifices. Let's look at a couple of places in the scripture. This won't be complete, but I'm going to give you some sacrifices. So you think about, you're a priest now. You're a priest. Tell the Bible says you're a priest. So when we come to the church, we're offering together spiritual sacrifices. Let's look at just a couple of them. Look at Romans 12:1. And this is not only in church, Romans 12:1. My friend, you're a priest of God. You're always offering sacrifices to God. And I'm going to encourage you, give God your best. In the Old Testament, sometimes people tried to get by with second best. They have an animal, had a blemish. God said, I'm not going to accept that. I think sometimes that's what we do. We kind of give God our leftovers. I beg you, don't give God your leftovers. Give him your best. Every day give him your best. He said in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I beseech you, brethren, therefore, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies, living sacrifices, holy, acceptable to God, which is your original service. My friend, what I am, I'm a living sacrifice. Everything I do is a sacrifice to God Almighty. If you're a husband, be the best husband in the world, do it unto God. If you're a wife, be the best wife in the world, do it unto God. If you're parents, raise your children to the glory of God. If you're kids, honor your mom and daddy. for to the glory of God. If you're working somewhere, do that to the glory of God, my precious friends. Everything we my mind belongs to God. My time belongs to God. My money belongs to God. Everything belongs to God Almighty. You're not your own. You're bought the price. You're to glorify God in your body and your spirit, which belongs to God. Let me read you a song here a minute. We sing this sometimes, and I really do hope we mean it. I do hope we mean it. If you don't get your book out, you don't have to. You've got it memorized probably. I want to read number 253. My friend, we're living sacrifices. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee. Take my voice and let me sing always only for my King, and how good it sounded this morning. Take my silver and my gold, not a mite will I withhold. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my will and make it thine. It shall be no longer mine. That's a hard one. We need to pray that, God, not my will but thine be done. Take my heart, it is thine own. It shall be thy royal throne in the course. I give my life to thee. Lord, I give my life to thee. Thine forevermore to be. Lord, I give my life to thee. Thine forevermore to be. I want to ask you today, I know I pressed up on a few toes to clean my own. Let's reconsecrate our lives to our great God. We don't know how long we're going to live. Let's give him all we can. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that just beautiful? Now, another sacrifice. A couple more I'll read to you. I'm having to kind of just pick my scriptures because the Bible's full of this. Look over to Hebrews 13, 15 and also in 16. Hebrews 13 and also 16. By him, therefore, and I'm going to say something about him in a minute. You can't do anything without him. I'm telling you nothing. I've got a sermon coming if I live long enough. You can pray for me about this. I've got a sermon coming if I live long enough. And from John 15, 5, without me, you can do nothing. I want to preach on that. You can't do anything about God. Some of you may feel like you're pretty self-sufficient people today. That's not the truth at all. Your every heartbeat comes from God. Your every breath comes from God. Your brain waves come from God. Your talents come from God. Your opportunities come from God Almighty. There's no such thing as a self-made person. You can't do anything without God Almighty. The older I get, the more I realize that. But even you kids, strong kids, you can't do anything without God Almighty, precious friends. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. The sacrifice of praise. We need to be praying God all the time. Not only in church, that's the best place to praise God. But my friend, all the time we need to be praising God. Let our mouth be filled with his praise. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and communicate, forget not, for such sacrifices God is well pleased. That communicate means give up our finances to those who need it. That's what that word communicate means. So that's also a sacrifice. When we place our money to help the church and help people out, my friend, that's a sacrifice to God. He's well pleased with that. Isn't that beautiful? Well, let me say this, though. None of that would be worth anything. We're acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Let me read you a scripture. God likes it when his children pray. God likes to hear his children pray. But I tell you, if it weren't for Jesus Christ, my prayers would not go anywhere. But they go a long way to right to God's throne because of Jesus Christ. Let me read to you in Revelation chapter 8, verse 3. There's a beautiful scene here. It's talking about the prayers of the saints. They come before God's throne. See, we see things from the heavenlies from the book of Revelation. It's beautiful. We see spiritual realities in the heavenlies as we read the book of Revelation. So here we are praying. Let's look at this scripture. Only one verse here, 8:3. Another angel came and stood at the altar having a golden censer. That's a golden bowl. And there were given unto him much incense. Now that incense, I'm telling you, is the fragrance of Jesus Christ. I won't even try to quote it because it'll throw me off. But if you go to Ephesians 5:3, you'll see what he's talking about. It's the incense of Jesus Christ. Christ is a sweet-smelling savor to his Father. And another angel came and stood at the altar having a golden censer, and there was given to him much incense that he should offer it with the prayer of all saints upon the golden altar that is before the throne. See, isn't that great? What's happened is here come your prayers, and the Lord mixes up all this good old incense of Jesus Christ, and the Lord smells that, and he likes that. And he answers your prayers. That's beautiful, I think. Just absolutely beautiful. All right, let me go back to my text now. Let's go back to our text a little bit. All right. I'm going to start the first verse again, read down, get my running start. To whom coming as into a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. You also, this, you and me, precious friends, as lively stones are built to be a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Before I read verse 6, though, I forgot something. What, guess what about priests? Priests have special clothes on. Now, we don't have special clothes outwardly, but we have special spiritual clothes. You know what they are? You know what they are? Well, let's go to Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Put on, therefore, we're priests now. We got to put on the right kind of garments. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another, as God hath forgiven us, to which you give one another. So with priests, let's have on those garments of humility. That's our priestly garments. Not the big modern outward beautiful garments they had in the Old Testament priesthood. We do put on as a priest. All right, now let's keep reading. Verse 6. Wherefore it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion. That's talking about the church. A chief cornerstone. Brothers and sisters, we all know this. I'm not a builder, but I've heard enough of this. I know about this. If the cornerstone's not right, the building won't be right. He's the chief cornerstone. Elect, precious. He's precious. I'm going to ask you this question today. Is he precious to you? I hope that he is. I hope the Son of God becomes more and more precious to us. Let me tell you, maybe you have trouble with this. I'm going to tell you what I have trouble with sometimes. Because it's a devilish device that Satan uses against me. And it's really something. The devil's subtle. Sometimes I feel like I don't deserve to praise God. Well, I don't. But it hinders my praise. Do you ever feel that way? I hear all these people saying good things about the Lord Jesus Christ, but I feel like I'm a hypocrite if I do, because I don't really feel like I should. I don't feel that strong as I should. I don't know how I'm getting to you or not, but I tell you, the devil, he's so slick. He'll do anything he can to even deter our praise. Brother, cut loose and just praise God with all your might. Cut loose and praise him. Forget the deficiencies. Forget the sins. He likes to hear your praise. It's acceptable to him by the Lord Jesus Christ. When we see him face to face, we'll praise him like we ought to, like the one that I quoted. We see him as he is, we'll praise him as we ought. But do the best you can now, my friend. Do the best you can now. That stinking devil, I'll be glad when God catch him to the lake of fire, won't y'all? I'll be thrilled about that. I'm going to raise some real cane right there. Not no cane, but I'm going to do some hollering. My friend with the old devils. He bothers us all the time. But I tell you, I hope to God that that great sword of the Spirit will break those chains off of you. You can cut loose and praise him. And remember that verse over there in the psalm that says, let my soul out of prison that I may praise thy name. The devil puts our soul in jail too often. We need to bust him out of there. But the sword of the Spirit, which is the great word of God. All right, let's read some more. Wherefore also it contains the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. He that believeth on him should not be confounded. I don't know how to say that strong enough. My friend, you'll never be totally ashamed. All the people who don't know the Lord are going to be ashamed someday. They're making a lot of racket today. We got a whole culture today, not only in the United States, but too bad. Wait, it is bad here. They're blaspheming God all the time by their actions and by their words. It discourages God's children. Things that God said are abomination, they brag on them, don't they? People that are against that kind of stuff called homophobic and such nasty names as that. My friend, we live in a world that they think they got it on a downhill pool. It looks that way, doesn't it? The media's against us. Academia's against us. The corporate world's against us. The educational world's against us. So what, my friend? Someday they will be profoundly confounded and ashamed. But God's children will not be confounded. They'll not be ashamed. That we're going to be, like Andrew preached yesterday, his part of the sermon was victory in Jesus Christ, my friend. Every child of God is going to draw that victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. So take heart. And to you, therefore, should be, now here's my verse. Listen to this, and let's chew on this today, even after I get through preaching. Unto you, therefore, which you believe, he is precious. Oh, I want him to be precious to us. Well, let's get in the Bible, read about him. Let's sing the song like Jesus, lover of my soul. All those kind of, and Lord, help him to be precious. precious to me. I guarantee he will be when you come to die. But I want him to be precious to you while you're alive. I promise you he'll be precious to you on the deathbed. I promise you that. My brother, God Almighty, has promised an abundant entrance to the everlasting kingdom for every child of God over there in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 11. I guarantee you. You talk about a welcome mat, brother. Heaven has got a great big welcome mat out for all his children. I can't prove this, but I know Christ will be smiling at us. I kind of believe he'll give us a big hug. I wouldn't be a bit surprised. That'd be just like him, wouldn't it? He let John lay on his bosom, precious friend. He loves his children. He loves you as much as he did John, the apostle. And that he called the beloved disciple. All his disciples are beloved disciples. Yes, you'll have a welcome you won't believe when you come to glory. He has nothing against you because he paid for all your sins. So, my friend, you can welcome. You say, we've got one song that says, come, welcome death, I'll gladly go with thee. Unto you, therefore, to believe he is precious. But to them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same made the head of the corner. See, it's amazing. Those people disallowed him. My friend, isn't it amazing to think what happened? And we still got people like that today. But my friend, Jesus Christ is the only man ever lived a perfect life. He had a perfect personality. There's nothing about him that would turn anybody away. But my friend, he had multitudes of people who hated him. They hounded him for his entire life here upon this earth, especially the last 3 years of his ministry. They hung on his every word. My friend, he told us this, if they hated me, they're going to hate you also. That's the truth. My friend, he was rejected of men. Think about that. Read Isaiah 53. Rejected. If you feel rejected sometimes, you're in good company. He knows how you feel. He can sympathize with you. He was rejected. So verse 7 again. And to you therefore which you believe, he is precious. But them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, same made the head of the corner. Now get this. A stone of stumbling. See, we rest on the stone. They stumble at the stone. They still do today. When you deny the doctrine of the Bible, you're stumbling on Jesus Christ. Think about that. This is pretty serious stuff, isn't it? My friend, listen. We have to walk in the light of the Word of God, not what the culture says. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, and even to them which stumble at the Word, being disobedient, whereto also they were appointed. I'm going to quit there. I can't wait to get to verse 9, but I don't want to do it today. But let me read you what I wrote at the end of my notes. Let me tell you what I wrote at the end of my notes. If we believe in Christ, we should be profoundly grateful. This faith is a free gift given to all God's elect, but not to others. You'd be also stumbling over him if God Almighty had not given you the gift of regeneration and faith. So if you think you're poor, you think inflation's kind of kicking in, and money doesn't go as far as you do, so what? You got the true riches. The true riches. How'd that song go? Hit me with that. Lasting joys and solid treasures only Zion's children know. The rest of the glory of this world will burn up. If you love the Lord, you got it made. I'm telling you what I said at the first is the truth. You can't lose for winning, precious friend, in Jesus Christ. May God bless you.
What a magnificent, important passage in 1 Peter, and what an important, magnificent sermon we just heard. Christ is precious. That's indisputable. But the question is Christ precious to you? God said he's precious. He's my chosen. He's my elect. But chosen there is not, it's not like this, but sort of like this. We were out to eat. We were out of town last week, and you can walk to this restaurant. You can walk and buy a display, and you can pick the piece of meat that you want. It's the choicest piece of meat to you. You can pick that one if you want. And that's not what God did when he selected Christ, but that's sort of like what it was. He was the only one able, the only one that was sufficient to please the Father on your behalf. The only one who was able to bear your sin debt. The only one who was meek and lowly in heart. He is precious. That's indisputable. Is he precious to you? And precious, him being precious, him being choice, him being the only thing is more than just interesting. It's more than just attractive. It's precious is everything. So if he's precious, you will come. If he's precious, you will praise. That's what we're called to do. Precious, come to praise and then to give. Take my life and let it be. If he's not precious, none of those things will happen. And that's why I thank the Lord for what Dalton said earlier. He's brought me low by seeing how big that he is. May he bring us low that we may come. May he bring us low that we may then praise the one who is meek and lowly in heart and brings us near to him.